and welcome to episode 53 of the Knitting Pretty podcast. It is November the 19th, 2015, and my name is Em. You can find me on the internet as Knitfast Die Cozy, particularly Ravelry and Instagram, but also Pinterest and Twitter. There are show notes for the podcast on my website, which is emmaknits.net, and you can find my blog, not that I've updated it in forever, and knitting patterns as well there. And then I have a Facebook page for all that, which is at facebook.com/emmaknits, and I mostly just post when the podcast goes live there. But, you know, I have this theory that at some point I will use social media effectively, but at this point I just kind of flail around and don't do much. Anyway, so all of those places are podcast social media. And then there's Ravelry, and you can find the podcast Ravelry group by searching Knitting Pretty Podcast in the Groups tab, and you should do that, and you should join, because it's fun, and because we've got a really cool craft along going on right now. We are all doing the second iteration of the Art Along. This is a podcast, This is a podcast. This is a craft along that I started up last year, I believe, and liked so much that we had to do it again. It is a modified version. This time I have picked 9 pieces of art for you guys to choose from. If you want to hear more about those pieces of art, definitely go back and listen to episode 52. I talked about them at length, and then at length for some more, and then a little bit more after that. I went on a bit. It was kind of a long episode. But the point is, there's lots of information about those pieces in that episode. So you can also find just little write-ups on the pieces in the Ravelry group in the chatter thread for the craft along. And all textile crafts are welcome. Everything from tatting to macrame to needle felting to knitting to spinning, you name it, if you can do it. Or even if you can't do it, if you want to learn how to do it. And you can link it up to one of the art pieces. Or if you found inspiration in one of the art pieces and you want to do something based on that, knock yourself out. Come join us. Anything you start after, well, have started after the 5th of November and finish before the 10th of January will be eligible for prizes. And we have some pretty good prizes now, I gotta say. So the first was the one that I talked about last time, which is a pattern by Jennifer Lassonde of Down Cellar Studio. It's called View from the Charles, and it's a very interesting shawl pattern. I like it a lot. It's got 2 different directions, and it's meant to be knit in 2 different colors, and it kind of is color blocked and looks like a sail. It's very cool. And then a friend of mine and very kind listener, Catherine, donated a couple of skeins of yarn for us to have as prizes. So one is Nooch Fiber, the Central Park fingering base in a colorway called Smack. It is a sort of sunsetty, orangey, pinky, slightly neon, very bright color. I put pictures in the prize thread in the header, and you should have a look, because it's pretty. And then a second skein of yarn, also from Catherine, which is Sweet Georgia BFL Sock in Wellspring. This was a club colorway from 2013, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous hand-painted yarn in grays and greens and teal, and a dark, like a light teal and a dark teal. It's really pretty. So have a look at those. You could win them. It would be very exciting. And then another kind friend and listener, Rebecca, donated a pattern of your choice up to $7 US. So 4 awesome prizes. And then I am going to be contributing as well, I think. I was going to do a skein of yarn from my stash, but we have some skeins of yarn, so I think I'm going to come up with something else. I'm thinking something sewn. Possibly a project bag. We'll see. So, what else? Oh, I kind of forgot to say welcome and hi and all that stuff. I'm not very good at this, apparently. Hi, welcome, thank you for listening. And I do mean it. I know it sounds kind of rote that I kind of say it the same every time, but I really do mean it. Thank you so much for listening, and I really appreciate you hanging out with me, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. I also wanted to say thank you for the star ratings and reviews on iTunes, and if you feel so moved, I would love it if you could leave a review or star rating on iTunes, or, you know, share the podcast with your friends, whatever, because it's a really great way of getting the podcast out there. So, yeah, thank you for doing it. And if you're considering doing it, just do it. Thanks. So let's move on to the actual podcast. In my past, I have a finished thing, and it's a very big finished thing. I finished the Oshima for Him sweater by Jared Flood, which I was making out of Briggs and Little Heritage in the light gray heather colorway. I made this for my husband. I made the 43.5-inch chest measurement size, which it's meant to have 4 inches of positive ease, 3 to 4. So he has about a 40-inch chest, so that was why I chose that size. I used 1,236 yards, according to Ravelry, and I lengthened it a bit, so that's the only real modification I made to the pattern. It was a very easy, fun pattern to knit. I did complain earlier about the yarn needle combination, and that was an issue, but it has no bearing on the pattern. But yeah, I did find that the measurements in the body and the arms are made for a average to short gentleman. And at 6'3", Jacob is not that. So I did have to lengthen both the body and the arms by about 2 inches. I really, really liked it. I do try and review things at the end of knitting a big project, so I will yet again say that Brooklyn Tweed patterns, not just Jared Flood patterns, but the whole Brooklyn Tweed company, anything that's been published under their label in the past, 4 years? 5 years? Anyway, are really, really well tech edited, well presented, excellent layout, very clear, good schematics, great photos, like, I have no complaints. None. I also really like the styling of this sweater. It has a really good blend of visual interest without being fussy. So I think it would appeal to almost any man. It's not fussy. It's not what some men might consider girly, although really they just need to suck it up. But yeah, it's very appealing to even a more boringly dressed kind of fellow, but it is interesting to knit, and it's got some really beautiful details in the shoulder decreases in the back of the sweater and some interesting construction. So have a look at it, because it might be something for a gentleman in your life or for you. The yarn, Briggs and Little Heritage, I will say it is quite rough when you buy it. In the skein, it does not feel terribly pleasant. I washed it before I used it. I took off the tags, I just put the skeins in lingerie bags and put them in my top-loading washer to soak. Now, whenever I say I put yarn or knitted stuff in my washer, I am not saying with the agitation cycle on. Never, no. You can just fill it with water and let it soak, and that's how I wash all of my hand knits. And yarn. And so I just filled it up with water, put in some Eucalan, because that's what I have right now. I don't recommend the Eucalan Kirsten Omdahl jasmine scent that they did. It was like a collaboration. It smells like elderly people. Not that there's anything wrong with elderly people, but it smells like old lady perfume. That doesn't smell like old ladies. Old ladies are awesome. The old lady perfume, not so much. Anyway, sorry, that was a little rude. But anyway, slightly stinky Eucalan, but the point is it did the job as far as softening the wool and made it pleasant to knit with. It does have quite a few sticks and bits of veg matter in it, but that is because the wool is minimally processed. It's the same as Shelter, the same as lots and lots of more rustic wools, is they reduce the amount of processing that the wool goes through, which allows it to keep a lot more of its woolly properties, allows it to be bouncier and like more retaining heat and more moisture absorbent and all the good stuff that wool has. The more you process it, the more chance you have of losing that. And so, and also it costs money and it's environmentally damaging and all that stuff. So it is a minimally processed yarn, and that means sticks, and I just pick them out as they go. They're not that big a deal. There was only one knot in all of the 5 skeins I used, 5.5 skeins. It was great yarn. I like it a lot. The only thing is, if you don't do rustic and or, well, straight up itchy yarns, I would advise against it because it is pretty itchy. However, Jacob's very fussy about itching as far as wool sweaters go, and he just wears a long sleeve like t-shirt thing underneath it, and he's fine. So yeah, I recommend both the yarn and the pattern. And the yarn held up really nicely through a steam blocking, and he's been wearing the sweater, and not a single pill has showed up yet, so that's exciting. And it's been keeping him warm on his bikes to work in the cold, cold fall mornings, so I'm calling it a win. That's all I've finished. On to my present. I have been sewing. Last Sunday, or Saturday, weekend anyway, I did almost all of the work on a Brumby skirt by Megan Nielsen. This is a pattern and fabric combination I'd talked about a while ago. It's a really gorgeous dark green base fabric with a sort of stylized medium-sized floral leafy berries kind of print all over it. It's nice and autumnal and I like it a lot. And I have almost finished it. The only thing I need to do is sew down the waistband facing. I could top stitch it down from the outside, but I have never been good at that. I am quite, I'm not an accomplished sewer. I don't want to toot my horn that way, but I'm good at it. I know what I'm doing, and I make the thing I mean to make, you know? I have no problems. But, for some reason, like, edge stitching and stitching in the ditch, which I feel like should have a different name. I think it sounds silly. All of that, I think it's because I'm a little bit sloppy with my pinning and I rush myself a little bit and it ends up with the fabric on the bottom side moving around a little bit too much. I think that's my problem. Anyway, all of that to say, I'm going to be hand sewing the waistband facing down all along the inside edge. Just because it'll look better, and I'll do a better job of it. Also because I almost run out of the thread I was using, and I have enough to either stitch down the waistband or hem it. I will be using it for hemming, and I will use something else for the waistband facing, because it's on the inside, and no one needs to know. So yeah, that's where I am with that. It'll be finished by next week, or episode, and I can tell you about it, and I'll put pictures on Instagram when I finish it, because so far it's really cute. I tried it on with the waistband facing all pinned in and managed to insert several pins into my midsection. That was not my finest moment. I almost brought myself to tears with how frustrated I was. And yet, the stupidest part was I kept trying to get it on. Like, I kept trying to pull the skirt up. You know, all the pins are facing upward. And I thought, oh, well, maybe if I can just scooch it up, you know, I won't poke myself, and I kept poking myself, and I was like, oh, well, you know, this one poked me, now I'll pull it out and keep on going, and I just kept pulling that skirt up until eventually I got it in the right place to try it on to see if it fit. I wasn't sure if it would fit. My waist measurement is disproportionate compared to my hip and bust measurement. Every time I'm buying clothes or looking at sewing patterns particularly, my waist is a little bit bigger than the measurement than they say, so I was curious if it would fit. I figured if it was too small, I'd just shrink into it. But yeah, it looks really cute, and I have recovered from all of the pin damage, so I'll finish it soon. I've also been working on a new project. I talked about it last time too. It is, I was gonna look it up, Meisi, I don't know, M-E-I-S-I, it's by Julia Mueller. It's a pair of really beautiful twisted stitch gloves, and I'm using Volmiza Pure in the Wasabi colorway, which is really, really bright green, and I'm doing these for the art along, so have a look at the pattern. I really think that the way the twisted stitch panels come together looks like Rheims Cathedral, and so that's what I'm doing. And I really like it so far. I've done the cuff, and I need to move on to the next chart, which is the back of hand chart and the sort of front of wrist chart. I'm not even at the thumb gusset. I've done quite a lot of work on it. The only change I've made so far is the cuff has a folded hem, which I have kept, but on the fold in the pattern it has baubles, and I'm not really a baubles cuff kind of person. I'm mostly just not a baubles kind of person, I don't think. I mean, I'm sure at some point something will prove me wrong, and I will find something that is baubled and exactly my sort of thing. But at this point, I feel that I'm not a bauble sort of person. And so, I just left the baubles off. So far, great pattern. I like it a lot. It is a free pattern now, as are all of Julia Mueller's patterns. When the VAT tax situation changed in all of Europe, I believe, at the beginning of this year, it was a real nightmare for a lot of designers because it was a tax law that applied the kind of tax for bigger items on every little digital item, and it was just super complicated. It involved charging tax to people who were buying from outside the European Union, so a Canadian buying would be paying tax on it. Like, the whole thing was just... It was just a nightmare for a lot of people, and so at that point, I guess, Julia Mueller found that it was too much fuss to be bothered with, and put her patterns up for free, and just kind of withdrew as a designer, which was really generous of her. I'm really grateful to her for doing that. Her patterns are beautiful, and I've admired them for a long time. I would prefer that she were able to continue selling her patterns, because they are absolutely worth whatever she would have charged for them. But such is life. The next thing I'm working on is another new project. I cast on a snowflake sweater by Tin Can Knits in Barocco Vintage DK. I was originally going to use the Vintage DK to make sweaters for my niece and my daughter for Christmas, and I still am. That's what this is for. But I was gonna originally make the Semi de Printemps sweater, which has a designer that I can't remember right now. I'll put it in the show notes. But as I looked at the comments for it, there were just comments about, you know, fit issues and pattern issues, and I wasn't in the mood. I wanted a pattern that I could just make, you know, without any fuss, because I'm making two of these sweaters. I wanted it to be reliable. I didn't want to have to fudge anything or do any math or anything like that. So I went with Snowflake, which is a fantastic pattern. I've knit it once before for myself, and I know it works, and I know that Tin Can Knits patterns are pretty much always amazing. So yeah, it was just more of a percentage play, I guess, for quick Christmas sweater knitting. I'm making the, I think it's a 5/6 size for my daughter Ray. It's got a 25-inch chest anyway. And it is well on its way towards done. I knit the yoke and took the stitches off for the sleeves, and then I've knit about 8 inches of the body. I think it asks you to knit 9 and a bit or something before doing a hem. And then you just pick up and do the sleeves. So it's going really quickly. The second one will be in a 1 to 2 year size, so it'll go even faster. It is a really cute pattern. It's got a lace yoke, and then the rest of it's just stockinette in the round. And that's another reason I wanted to switch patterns, because I really wanted something with buttons, because it's just kind of boring gray yarn, and little kids, I feel like, don't need to wear boring gray. They can wear all the bright colors and look not totally crazy. You know, sometimes I worry about if I wear too many bright colors, I'll look like I'm colorblind or a little bit odd. Little kids don't have that problem. They can just look as crazy as they want, and they look adorable. So, yeah. I wanted them to have color on it, so I was gonna put on rainbow buttons on the cardigans in my original plan, but then I realized that knitting back and forth in a cardigan pattern is actually a lot slower for me than knitting in the round. So this one does have some buttons on the raglan line on the yoke, so I'll be able to put on 3 or 4 buttons on each of them and get some of that little bright pop of color. They're going to be really cute, and I love the pattern. The yarn's fine. I have no complaints. It's a little bit acrylic-y, but that's because it's a little bit acrylic-y. I think it's half wool. It's fine. The only other thing I'm working on are my Bramble socks in Patton's Croix in the Bramble Stripes colorway, which is purple and green and black and white, and the purples are like different colors of purple and different colors of green, and it's a cute striping pattern. I had to rip them out and start fresh, and now the first sock is bound off and I just cast on the toe for the second one today. Yeah, not much to say. They're just toe-up socks. I'll be putting in true afterthought heels. No big deal. So, my future. I wanted to mention a couple patterns. One by name is Tetrapods, and it's by Olga Baraya Kafelian, and it is in a collection that she has just put out with Brooklyn Tweed. And I know I talk about Brooklyn Tweed a lot. That's kind of because I'm a huge fangirl of them. I really like their aesthetic and their yarns and their color sense and the way they style patterns and all that stuff. So, they have put out a book, an actual print book, which is a first for them, I believe. And it's called Capsule, and they're going to be doing this with lots of different designers, hopefully. That's the goal. And they chose Olga Baraya Kafelian as their first. I'm probably saying her name wrong, but phonetically, that's what it looks like. And I was really excited about it. I like some of the patterns a lot, and I would never wear most of them, but I really am glad that they're out there, that they exist. She makes very sculptural, interestingly constructed patterns. And there are a couple sweaters in it that, yeah, I think they're gorgeous. I just wouldn't ever wear them. So I have no intention of knitting them, and so I probably won't buy the book, but this Tetrapods is a wrap, and it's got a tessellating pattern, kind of a tumbling jacks pattern, I suppose. And yeah, really, really pretty, simple, geometric. It could really sing in a single color, or you could use a hand spun and it wouldn't overwhelm it too much if it was a fairly not too out there hand spun. It's just a beautiful knit wrap. There was another pattern in it that has, it's a stranded tubular cowl that just has a tessellating, not X's, crosses, like Swiss crosses kind of shape. And can't remember what it's called, but it's really pretty. I just am in the middle of knitting a stranded cowl right now, and the progress is abysmal, so I'm not committing to knitting any more of them, because as much as I like the concept, the actual act of making them is apparently not for me. But yeah, you should check out the collection if you like unusual patterns, if you like really, really beautiful stitch patterns, complex stitch patterns, then this is one for you to see. It's great inspiration, even if it's not, even if you don't, you know, want to make all the patterns, it's really great inspiration. And it's a beautiful book. The lookbook section of it with the photos are just, it's gorgeous. The other thing in my future is more hats. It is cold here, and I don't know what the deal is, but my ears are so cold this year. I feel like last year I was like, oh yeah, I'll wear a hat. Maybe. Whatever. No rush. But this year I haven't been able to go out in the mornings to walk Ray to school without a hat on. It could be because last year I wasn't walking a child to school at 8:30 in the morning, and maybe, you know, I was going out later in the day. I don't know. But I need to make some more hats. My ears are freezing, and it rains a lot here. And I wear my hats to keep the rain off my head, and then they get wet, and then they don't dry very fast, and sometimes I'm down to only one or no hats because they're all wet. I think partly I just need to turn up the heat in my house a little bit. But there will be hats in my future, you just wait and see. So on to show and tell. Not much for you today, although I kind of want to throw this back on you. I'm going to start a thread in the Ravelry group. A thread for you guys to show off what you do. And by that, I mean, I think maybe I'll start two. Now I just had a thought. My original thought is I want a thread where if you have a podcast or a shop, if you dye yarn, if you make pottery, if like kind of a combination of a sell your stuff and just show me the cool things you do. If you have a blog, basically, I want a venue for listeners who are putting stuff out into the world, either in the form of free entertainment, like blogs and podcasts, or who are independent artisans and make things for sale. I want a space for you guys to show off what you do and maybe gain a little traffic. But now I was thinking, as I was mentioning the whole concept, I would also like to start a thread for you guys if you want to. I'll do this after the craft along. Don't let me forget. Somebody remind me. After the craft along's over, I'm going to put up a thread where you can just show me what you're working on. We can all hang out, chat, just another place where if you're working on something you're really proud of or you want some advice on something, you can come chat. Show us your whips. Show us your finished objects. Just hang out. So I'll start that in January sometime. But yeah, the show off your stuff thread I'm going to put up when I put this episode up. So yeah, if you have a podcast, if you have anything, a shop, whatever, come tell us about it. I would love to hear what you're doing and love to find some new podcasts or new blogs to read. So yeah, come hang out. On to my obsessions for this 2-week period. The first is hanging planters. I really, really, really want to have plants in my house. I have this sort of sunroom thing that I have tried to plant herbs in. Well, I tried to have like a vegetable garden in it last year, and I tried to do herbs this year, and it's too hot in the summer for anything. Herbs just bolt in it, but it doesn't get enough actual sun through the windows, like the, you know, the glass, it has a mylar film on it, and it disrupts all the good stuff in the sun that makes the plants grow. So it's not good for growing vegetables, even though it's warm. It's not going good for growing herbs, even though it keeps the sun off. The whole thing's just a wash. And in the winter, it's an ice box, and sometimes I use it to store food that needs to be refrigerated that doesn't fit in the refrigerator. It's really cold. Anyway, so the sunroom's not working for me. And I want to have plants in the house, because plants are beautiful, and my parents' house is full of plants. I've always grown up with plants in the house. It's always been a thing. And not having them bugs me. But I have this cat, you see, who will walk up and bite the useful parts, whether they be flowers or vegetables or leaves, whatever they are, the most useful bit, she will bite it off of the plant almost instantly. And so I want to get some hanging planters in my dining room, maybe like go a little retro and get some spider plants or something. But then I found on the IKEA website, they've got some small, lightweight, little white metal hanging planters that I think I'm going to rig up a situation for them to hang in our bay window in our living room. And I'm going to try growing herbs in them next growing season, starting next spring. I'll have a chance to hit up an IKEA over the Christmas holidays, so yay that. I'm really excited. I'm excited to get some greenery back in the house. My next thing I have considered an obsession is how happy I am to actually be wearing knitwear, that it's cold and I can put on a shawl or a scarf. I've been wearing the heck out of my Match and Move shawl by Martina Bem. I knit it in Rain City Knits in the organic merino fingering weight, in light gray and neon orange. And I love that shawl. It's so, it's perfect. It's the perfect, just throw it on and don't worry about it kind of shawl. And I've been wrapping it around, like, I anchor the wider point kind of at, boob height, I guess. And then wrap it around the back of my neck and then around the front again, which puts the widest part of the shawl sort of slightly off center on my chest. And then wrap the other end back around and tuck it inside the shawl. And so it's at the front right beside the other one. Both ends are right together at the front underneath the shawl. And I just tie them together in a single square knot. And it looks really cute. I really like wearing it like that. I have a picture on Instagram. Everything's orange. Look for the orange picture. That's the one. But I've been getting loads of wear out of it. Obviously, like I said, I've been getting lots and lots of wear out of my hats. I only have 2 pairs of fingerless mitts that I've made for myself, but they're getting worn a lot too. I don't know why I don't ever knit mitts for myself. I need to. And cowls that I'd never had a chance to wear because they were too snug against the neck, or when looped up properly, they were too snug against the neck for anything but cold weather. So basically, it's cold and I get to wear knitwear, and I love that. My final obsession is Christmas crafting. It has started in earnest. You know how I said I wasn't gonna make too many gifts? Yeah. Well, I probably lied about that, if we're gonna be honest with ourselves, which we should be. Now I've got the 2 little girl sweaters, and I am going to weave a bag for one of my sisters-in-law. Like, it'll be a cut-in-pieces kind of bag, but I'll weave the fabric and then cut it out and make it. And then there's my daughter's teacher. I think I will make her a little pencil case kind of thing out of the same woven fabric. And my father-in-law needs knitted socks, and I'm gonna do some other stuff. So, basically, the Christmas crafting has begun in earnest as I realize that it's only 5 or so weeks till Christmas and that I need to get my ass in gear. But one thing I'm really excited about that I'm going to try on the bag for my sister-in-law and for my daughter's teacher is I'm going to try cross-stitching on the hand-woven fabric. Because why not, right? The hand-woven fabric, it's a nice, like, plain weave. It everything's square, it's open, so there's enough space to see what you're doing. I see no reason why you couldn't cross-stitch on it. So I'm gonna try. We're gonna see how that goes. I'll report back. But I'm actually really excited about it, and I've seen a couple of pictures on Pinterest and stuff lately of embroidery on, like, big woolly winter knitted socks and stuff like that, and I'm just thinking, I'm into the idea of embroidery on the other crafts right now. I think it's a cool idea. So, yeah, that's what I'm excited about. That's what I'll be doing for the next 2 weeks, is furiously working away on this. I had some art-along spinning that I was going to do, and I haven't started it yet just because the Christmas knitting took over and I kind of forgot about it. But I'll be working on that, and lots of other good things. So that is pretty much all I have to say for myself this time. I hope that you have an awesome 2 weeks, and you get loads of knitting time, and if you're doing Christmas knitting or any holiday gift knitting, I'm sorry. I will be working with you in solidarity. I hope that you're all well, and that the devastating events that have happened around the world in the past week or so haven't affected you. And if they have, you have my deepest condolences. I hope that you're able to find good times with your family and friends right now, and live life to the fullest, because that is the best way to deal with this sort of thing. And on that note, happy knitting.